Coming up on show 1117, we talk motor trends, Model S Plaid, 0-60 times. This is an interesting one. Stick around and we'll find out more. Also, on today's podcast, how Ford wants to help fleets go electric, the UK police force trialling an electric Model 3 from Tesla, and a fully electric BMW 3 Series is in the news. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily for Friday, 18th of June. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story so you don't have to. We'll kick off with the headline story today, and that is Motor Trend, a legendary publication in the US, if you didn't know. Getting a Tesla Model S Plaid and doing a 0-60 run with it. This car was supplied by Tesla themselves, and after a Motor Trend exclusive first test, we now find out more details of exactly how quick the 1,020 horsepower Model S Plaid really is. It comes with a promised 0-60 time of 1.99 seconds, and we saw when the car was unveiled and it gave some of those influencers and Tesla fans a chance to ride inside the car, and people were timing it, the actual 0-60 times were, well, 2.5 or 2.7 seconds on Tesla's own strip, and that led to some negative publicity around the vehicle, which seems crazy. It's a car doing 0-60 in less than 3 seconds. How is not that is not anything but amazing. But they have sold a car based on a 1.99 second promise. Is it true? Is it BS? Motor Trend were allowed to find out. Their test was actually before the reveal of the car, that stage event that Tesla had. They granted us access, they say, to be the first independent source to test the Plaid before the June 10th customer delivery event. So, how did it go? Well, I won't give you the whole article because it's a long, long read and it's worth reading from Motor Trend. And so, they obviously want you to go read this. I'll pop a link in the show notes. A couple of highlighted sections that I would like to bring you, though, is talking about where the test was done. Motor Trend's tests occur on the Auto Club drag strip, but what they do is they run the strip backwards to simulate better the type of asphalt and grip levels found on various streets around the world. So they do the drag strip in both directions, because of course the correct direction, I'm doing air quotes right now, of course means that you're launching the car on a prepped surface and it has that what's called VHT, which is a thick, black, grippy resin that gets coated on the start line. It's basically glue, and it helps the car get off the line. Because testing on VHT isn't representative of anything that you would encounter in the real world, Motor Trend have only ever done it twice in their history, in 72 years, back in 69 and 2002. So they don't. They do it on a drag strip, but in reverse. Therefore, you're not launching off of a whole bunch of rubber that's been put down by other tyres or any of this VHT. However, things didn't go to plan. Tesla then told us, say Motor Trend, that we could accept their offer of doing it not at the Motor Trend track, but at the Formoso Raceway near Bakersfield, California. And we could either accept their offer of doing it there, or we could take a running jump and forget the whole thing. Motor Trend accepted. Tesla informed us, they say, it would require our driver to launch the car only on a VHT surface. After further on-site negotiations, a backward pre-run by one of the Tesla drivers was finally agreed. So, they could conduct runs in each direction. They'd do it in the drag strip direction with the super sticky, gloopy stuff on the floor. And then, as per Motor Trend's normal procedure, they would then do it in reverse or the other way. As they were getting ready to run the tests, somebody who was from, they call it the Plaid Handlers, in other words, one of Team Tesla, received a mystery phone call. The option was removed. Once again, play by Tesla's rules, do it on the super sticky gloopy stuff, or you can do one and leave the track. Motor Trend decided to accept. So there was obviously some discussion around whether this was a real test or not. And I think, to give you my conclusion already, before we get to the end of the story, that's what's so disappointing about this. This should purely be a celebration of incredible EV engineering, of a car that, whether it goes 0-60 in less than 3 seconds, you know, 2.5 seconds, like a, you know, a ludicrous less than 2.5 seconds P100D, or less than 2 seconds, who cares? This is amazing. But instead, we're talking about Tesla changing the rules, changing the plans, being overbearing on all of the different rules. A lot of car makers do this, by the way. You know, they don't treat the press like they're their friends. They're like, right, you can have the car, but this is how you're doing it to get the result we know you'll get. No matter the surface, to get the quickest launch from a Model S Plaid, you've got to do things that you've always done with some Teslas. First of all, you've got a precondition. So you go into the car's infotainment system, and whether it's going ludicrous mode or going plaid mode, it takes up to 15 minutes, which is much, much quicker than the old cars, by the way. It preconditions the powertrain, so the battery and all the components, for very, very hard acceleration. I don't know whether it still warns you that you'll be shortening the life of your car by doing this, but they have done in the past. Once you've enabled drag mode, you quickly chirp the tyres on the VHT sticky surface. It was caked on so thick, says Motor Trend, it nearly pulled their shoes off, by stabbing the throttle to clear any debris from the tyres. Then you engage launch control. In a Tesla, you push hard on the brake, you push the accelerator to the floor, and then you wait. 9 seconds later, the Model S's nose will have dropped into what they call cheetah stance. In other words, the nose dips down, and then you are ready to launch. It says, press your noggin against the headrest and release the brake. It's an amazing experience. Now, I've not done this on a drag strip, but I have done some reasonably quick runs. And I wasn't even driving. My buddy in Miami was driving. And at those speeds, and this isn't in a plaid car, it's brutally fast if you've never experienced it. The Model S Plaid does the quarter mile in 9.25 seconds. It'll get to 152.6 miles per hour. The run from 0 to 60 miles an hour happened in 1.98 for Motor Trend. So it can fulfill the promise. If you go to the racetrack that Tesla demand, if you coat the surface in the sticky, gloopy black stuff glue, and you play by all their rules, you will get 1.98 seconds. Surface or not, it's so impressive what this car has been able to do. And not just the fact that it can do it, because the P100, you know, ludicrous, has been able to do, you know, just over 2 seconds for a long time now. But the fact that Motor Trend spent all day doing this, and they said it varied a little, you know, a tenth of a second here, a tenth of a second there. But it wasn't until the very final run at the end of the day the brakes started to fade a bit. But at no point did you do like a run and then have to give the car an hour to cool down. It was repeatable, and that is an incredible feat of engineering. And instead, rather than everyone getting behind Tesla and saying, well, this is amazing, like what you've done has moved the world of EVs forward, like we did with Rimac a couple of weeks ago with the Navara, now it opens up just a discussion around, does it count? Is it real? Should they be able to allow to be advertising the car at 1.9? Because it doesn't really do 1.99. I mean, it does under certain conditions. And that's like, that debate just shouldn't be happening. You should be saying this is amazing. Anyway, Tesla's rationale, if you're interested, for doing it on the gloopy glue is because they say it still counts because our customers will want to go to a drag strip and do it. The problem is there is a drag organization in the US, the NHRA. They're a sanctioning body. And if your car goes quicker than 10 seconds, or 9.99 seconds, or does 135 mile an hour on the quarter mile, you have to have a bunch of equipment, like a roll cage, window net, like master cutoff switches, a helmet, full body suit, blah, 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 blah. Tesla have no plans at all to supply the car with this. So they're saying, well, you know, it still counts because you can rig the result, as it were, to get that. But equally, if you do, you'll be disqualified because you can't run it at sanctioned events. If you do want to go to a proper drag event, like they say their customers will, you've got to fit your car out with a bunch of safety equipment. And it's probably worthwhile because things do go wrong. And again, all of this debate is crazy because what they've done is just amazing. Now, Motor Trend were allowed to keep the car and do the test later on their own track, and it got 2.28 seconds. So that matches, well, that matches the P100D Ludicrous Plus, doesn't it? 2.28. Although that is with rollout, which means you ignore the first foot as you're getting off the line, whereas this was from a standing start. So it's quicker than the Ludicrous, but still, Like, it's not radically quicker than the car that they've made for years and years now. The point is, they could just do it and do it and do it all day long. And that is an incredible piece of engineering for any electric car. The Navara from Rimac can do it. Whether it can go quicker or not, it probably can go quicker. That, again, has repeated down to about 35% state of charge, which is just brilliant. Well done to Tesla and the entire team for making a car that is genuinely moving the world on in terms of EVs, even if it's only by a third of a second. Man, I can't wait to get inside one of these. It's going to be crazy. I don't know if it's going to happen anytime soon, because they're going to make no right-hand drive versions of them this year and next. And I don't know if I'm going to be in a situation to be inside one, but, you know, we always hope. My goodness me, I'd love to experience it firsthand. Just incredible. Oh, they also broke another record, the 0 to 100 to 0. Shattered the previous record from Motor Trend, which was a McLaren Senna. Now, we're talking about a five-seater family car here that's beating hypercars, costing multiple amounts of money. Just brilliant. I'll pop a link to Motor Trend. They've got a load of articles on the Plaid. I knew it was going to be the bulk of today's podcast, as I'm so excited about it, and I just wanted to, you know, praise the team, and I'll pop a link in the show notes so you can read more. Right, coming up on the podcast, we're going to be talking about the Mercedes-Benz EQS owners helping find some charge point stations, Ford helping fleet owners, and learner drivers getting to go in electric cars. Stick around, we'll find out more soon. Let's talk VW ID4. VW of America have been working out how to pitch this car, and they've gone with the word affordable. It's a car that starts at 43,657. So VW's definition of affordable may not be yours, says Jalopnik. Volkswagen defines it pretty narrowly as well. When they say that it's the cheapest all-wheel drive on the market, what they mean is it's the most affordable all-wheel drive electric vehicle currently on sale in the US. That category includes I-Pace, e-tron, Taycan, XC40, Recharge, Model X, Model S, Model Y, Model 3, and all of which are more expensive than ID4 all-wheel drive. Jalopnik say that the ID4 is the all-wheel drive variant of it, at least, is a premium of just over $3,500. Volkswagen saying today it has an EPA estimated range of 249 miles, 295 horsepower, 0 to 60 in 5.7 seconds. Mostly the rear motor gets used, even with all-wheel drive version, but you pay that $3,500 for a front motor, which engages occasionally as needed to correct for wheel spin and provide extra grip. Getting any type of ID4 is a statement, say Jalopnik. And so far, they have concluded, according to the author of the article, Eric Schilling, the people that buy an ID4 are those who want to go electric but hate Elon Musk. Okay, fair enough. Moving on, let's talk about an all-electric BMW 3 Series. The BMW 3 Series G20, if you're interested, is going to get a facelift next year in 2022. And that usually means design tweaks, new materials inside and out, but this time it also means a pure electric version. From the sides, this test car seems to have a longer wheelbase than a normal 3 Series. Makes sense, because you've got to put a battery pack underneath. And so, since they're already selling a long wheelbase Model 3 Series in China, could well be using that platform. The electric test vehicle stickers give it away. The aero wheels give it away. The lack of exhaust pipes give it away. So this is the 3 Series that we've been talking about, most likely using the same powertrain as the all-electric i4. And so that is power from 340 to 500 horsepower, range of over 300 miles. And one way or another, the all-electric 3 Series should be in production next year. Let's go to Daimler next, accelerating the launch of their electric vehicles for the middle of the decade while phasing out fossil fuel versions. Manager magazine in Germany reporting today on this, according to a Reuters report. Many of the electric vehicle models from the German carmaker has planned for 2024 or 2025 are actually being moved forwards by 1 year. And the fossil fuel versions dropped, the magazine reporting, citing sources close to the matter, but we have no detail because Reuters saying that the Daimler chief exec Ola Källenius wants to announce this news before the summer break this year. They want to hold a capital markets day as well. So we'll look out for any date and diary from Daimler to do with what Merck are going to be doing with their EVs. But we know with the Mercedes-Benz EQS how well it's gone down. I told you yesterday on the podcast about a deal with Electrify America to get free charging for half an hour at a time for at least 2 years. And I said at the time, oh, that's, you know, not great, only half an hour. But then if you run the numbers on that, by the way, which I didn't do before I recorded yesterday's podcast, the car charges well over 200 kilowatts. It'll add 186 miles in just 15 minutes. So if you are plugged into an EA station for more than 30 minutes, well, you're definitely doing all right. So yeah, I think most EQS buyers won't be charging for more than half an hour at a time. Now Mercedes-Benz announcing a new collaboration, this time with ChargePoint. EQS drivers can access all of those charging stations through their Mercedes Me account. ChargePoint has 60,000 chargers all over the US, all of which are now accessible to the... they're always accessible to any EV driver, but they've been added to the Mercedes Me app to make that experience as easy as possible. It's what we're talking about with this week's question of the week. Stay tuned to the end to give me your thoughts. Both the Mercedes-Benz EQS 450 and the EQS 580 use a big old 107.8 kilowatt hour battery pack. 450 version uses a single motor rear wheel drive. The 580 has a dual axle or dual motor all wheel drive set up, and charging should be getting easier. It's the way it has to be for any of these premium cars. You're going to be faffing around with apps and all that kind of stuff. Plug and charge is essential. We know that's with Electrify America. And finding a charge station is so important. Route planning, it's the next frontier in making EV driving more pleasurable, and it's why it's this week's question of the week and next week's, because I've been a bit ill and behind on checking my emails, and so we're going to make it a two-weeker on question of the week with emobilitynorway.com. Stick around to the end. Ford is acquiring an EV charging company to help their own plans. They've acquired Electrify, that is Phi with a PH. That makes sense. Not an F. An EV fleet and energy management company that saves energy costs to become more inclusive for clean energy and their customers. The move comes at a time when makers like Ford, whose latest vehicle, the F-150 and the F-150 Lightning Pro, are being seen as big investments in the EV marketplace, according to TheHill.com. Electrify's existing team and services are being folded into Ford Pro. That is Ford's commercial service. Ford Pro integrates Ford Plus. It's a digital and physical service to not only buy an EV, but also when you have that as part of your fleet, trucks or vans, providing charging stations for public, for depots, for on-site commercial, and also for fleet tracking as well, so you can see at any time where all of your vehicles are, night or day, their state of charge and how they're being used. Next, Tesla has supplied the UK police with a car, but only one. It's for testing purposes, you see. Tesla has created an emergency response Model 3, all decked out in fluorescent yellow and the blue, which are the colours of our motorway police cars. And they're using it as a trial vehicle to help emergency services further understand how to cut emissions as part of the UK government's Road to Zero strategy. And this is smart from Tesla UK team, because I've seen this story covered far and wide, not just the EV blogs, but like this is driving.co.uk website from the Sunday Times newspaper. I've seen it in general websites and people are talking about it. They've basically taken one car from inventory, put a police logo on the side and some blue lights, and they're getting so much publicity. This is smart from Tesla's PR department. Oh, I'm sorry. We're always being told they don't have one. Tesla have plenty of brilliant marketing people like this example. Now, a Freedom of Information request found that 1% of the Department of Transport's fleet, there's almost 2,000 vehicles, 1% of them are electric, 71% are diesel. So again, you know, the lawmakers, the government saying we're going to go electric, we believe in it. You look at what they're doing at the moment, it's the opposite. So don't always believe the fancy press releases. Actually, look at the numbers. Now, the Model 3 long range costs $48,490 here, so it's a touch less than £50,000. But even then, it'll save the emergency services money because of minimal maintenance. Now, that's not including if a police car is caught up in a, you know, a chase, an incident, and then gets crashed. Of course, the police have their own repair service, their own internal repair service. They have to fix the dents and the dinks and all that kind of stuff. They did spend £128 million on repairing police cars since 2011 to 2014, but a lot of that will have been on fuel costs as well. And of course, you save that with electricity. Now, if the emergency services in the UK were to add the Model 3 to their fleets, they would be in good company. American and European police forces from Indiana to Connecticut, New York, California, all having Teslas in their police fleets. In Westport, Connecticut, they recouped the price difference between a Ford Explorer and a Model 3 within just 1 year of operation. Pop a link in the show notes if you want to read more. What about learning to drive? Will you be doing it in an EV in the future? Almost certainly. The Coventry-based Smart Learner Driving School, one of several businesses that have been making the most of some support by local councils to learn about EVs. The incentive by the Coventry Council offers businesses free trials of electric vehicles for up to 2 months. Now, this particular driving school has 55 instructors, and they've been lending them an EV, and EVs to learn about how they'll be good to teach people to learn to drive in. Whereas in Sheffield, the local council's been giving companies trial electric vans for up to 2 months. A try before you buy scheme. Like Nissan ENV200s, 30 of them in their fleet. It's among a host of measures that Highways England is taking to improve air quality. And why it's really, really smart is because electric vans, like the ones used in Leeds in their scheme, have been driven tens of thousands of miles, for instance, in the coronavirus response team. These vehicles are used in a number of ways to deliver things like food parcels to those who can't leave the house because they're self-isolating or shielding for health reasons. Local key workers are using these vehicles. And of course, you and I know that wherever you have your first electric vehicle experience, and you know, it's always going to be a good one, I would say, once you drive an EV, you understand it more. Before I drove one, I was curious. I'm like, well, what's this going to be like? A couple of things happen. You drive one, you realize it's just a car. Happens to have batteries, but it's just a car. And also, it's way better than any other car that you've driven. And so the key is to get people in them. So I love schemes like this, from Coventry to Leeds to Sheffield, about just giving businesses and people the chance to try one of these and integrate it into your business. See how it works. I'd love to see more schemes like this all around the world and wherever you're listening to this podcast. Final story today is the Sacramento Bee newspaper talking about California. Now, I've got a quote here from Brian Mass. He's the president of the California New Car Dealers Association. He says that consumers have to be interested to make an EV purchase. That means they've got to meet their needs of how they fuel the cars and also their cost. In selling zero-emission vehicles, says Brian, consumers need to understand how EVs work in terms of charging, where they can get charging, and what levels of charging are available. That's a whole new conversation that we haven't seen in decades in the automotive industry, and it's something that dealers are doing their darndest to learn. Really interesting story, this, because it was occasionally this happens to me. I don't know if it happens to you as well. It's like a wake-up call or a reminder that so many people are not even a fraction of the level that you and I are at in terms of understanding EVs. Now, California has more than 73,000 EV chargers, but a report from the California Energy Commission states that they will need 1.2 million public charging stations by 2030 to support the amount of EVs on the roads. So many times these reports are misguided, because if you can charge off-road, you don't need a public charging station. If you park on street, but you can get to a DC fast charging station, you maybe you charge one or two times a week. What so many of these report, and I've not read the CEC Commission report, what so many of them do is make assumptions that aren't true about EV charging, or they don't look at battery pack sizes, or they don't look at how EV charging is getting quicker. The idea that you can't go EV until there are 1.2 million EV chargers in California, up from 73,000 now, is crazy. They just need to grow with EV adoption. But it's not a like for like with petrol stations and gas stations. So I'll dig out that report and have a look. I'm not sure how old it is and what their conclusions are. But I always think when I see these, you know, we have one in the UK recently that said there's something like, you know, there needs to be 700 or 7,000 chargers installed every day. It's just nonsense. Like, oh man, so much work to be done. I'll pop a link to Sacramento Bee in the show notes if you want to read about how California is thinking about going EV. And that's your podcast for today. Question of the week, which I've kind of half mentioned already, is this, and we're running it for a week and a bit till the 27th, is with emobilitynorway.com, answer me this. What's the best way to navigate an EV journey when you're on the road? Is it to do all your planning beforehand, or is it to just jump in the car and work it out on the way? And are EV in-car nav systems with charging, etc., good enough yet? Or do you use third-party apps? Let me know. Email me, hello@evnewsdaily.com. Thanks to all our Patreon partners. Phil Roberts, sorry, premium partners, Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of The Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, nationalcarcharging.com and alohacharge.com, Derek Riley from the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK, and emobilitynorway.com. Have a good one, see you tomorrow, and remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.